once I had a secret love.
I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Peek.
Don't touch that dial. It's time for Nostalgia Radio Time with Greg Van Peek.
Hi, everyone. This is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Peek.
Go, Joe, go!
A mix of some of the finest music from legendary performers and personalities of the greatest generation, along with complete vintage broadcasts from the golden age of radio. Mix it together, and that's Nostalgia Radio Time. Welcome to a very special milestone edition of NRT. It's our 500th episode. Yes, NRT has been heard for 500 consecutive weeks, beginning January 7th, 2012. In honor of this special occasion, we are shining the spotlight for the entire hour on the incomparable Peggy Lee. One of the most important musical influences of the 20th century, Peggy Lee wrote over 200 songs, recorded over 1,100 masters, and had over 100 chart hits throughout her seven-decade career. As one of the world's first female contemporary singer-songwriters, she co-wrote and sang many of her own hits, most notably He's a Tramp from Disney's Lady and the Tramp, as well as It's a Good Day, Mañana. She's probably best known for her hits Fever, I'm a Woman, Why Don't You Do Right, and Is That All There Is. Is That All There Is won her a Grammy for Best Contemporary Female Vocal Performance. A 13-time Grammy nominee, Peggy Lee received the Lifetime Achievement Awards from ASCAP and the Society of Singers. And as an actress, she earned an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress in Pete Kelly's Blues. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program Peggy Lee's granddaughter, Holly Foster Wells. Thank you so much, Holly, for joining me to talk about your grandmother and for providing the playlist for this week's milestone episode of NRT. We're going to hear some amazing Peggy Lee recordings today, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing what you've chosen.
Well, it is my pleasure, and thank you so much for focusing on Peggy Lee.
So you have the monumental task of managing your grandmother's estate as president of Peggy Lee Associates. Tell us a little bit what that entails and how long you've been working in that position.
Well, I was prepared for this role since I was a child. My grandmother told me one day that I'd be running her company, and I didn't really know what that meant, but here I am doing it. And what it entails is just making sure that we keep her music out there. There's still a lot of never-before-heard recordings. I want to make sure that those are out there. They need to be out there for fans, and also licensing her music for television, commercials, films. That's another way of just keeping her legacy alive. And, of course, we are doing a biopic on her right now, so more people are going to know about the music of Peggy Lee very soon. She just didn't want to be forgotten, and she certainly left a huge body of work behind and over, 1,100 masters and wrote over 270 songs. So she's not going to be forgotten as long as, people like good music.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this biopic? Is that going to be coming out this year or next year?
We're hoping to start filming, actually getting ready to film this year and then filming next year. So I'm not exactly sure how long it will take for them to, do all the editing and everything. But certainly in the next year or two, we will be seeing this movie. And it's been a long time in the making. I always joke that I first started working on this when my older son was in kindergarten and he just finished his first year of college. So that's how long it's taken. But it was worth the wait because we have this incredible director in Todd Haynes and a fantastic script written by Doug Wright. And then, of course, the amazing Michelle Williams will be playing my grandmother. And also on board are some, just an incredible production team, Mark Platt, and Reese Witherspoon is producing, and Billie Eilish is actually executive producing. So her story could not be in better hands.
Oh, it sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, for the musical portions of the film, are you going to be using actual Peggy Lee recordings, or will someone else be performing her songs?
Well, Michelle herself is quite a great singer, so she sing these songs. And, not, it's... Of course, I'm so biased because it's hard for me to picture anybody sounding like Peggy Lee. But Michelle has a really good voice, and she certainly is just, she studies every role she takes on. And with Todd, you know, directing her, I have a great deal of faith that we will be very happy with these new recordings.
Up next, we'll talk a little bit about PeggyLee.com and some of the products you have produced and have available. But first, let's get started on the playlist you sent me of some of your favorite recordings by your legendary grandmother. First up is a song that appeared as a bonus track on the CD release of her 1962 album Sugar and Spice, a song titled Amazing, which certainly describes Peggy Lee. Spotlight artist Peggy Lee with Amazing. We're talking to Peggy's granddaughter, Holly Foster Wells, on this 500th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. I can't say enough good things about your website, Holly, PeggyLee.com. It's an amazing resource with just about anything you could possibly want to know about your grandmother. You can listen to her records, research her concert and TV appearances, on and on. Give us a little rundown of what fans can see and do at PeggyLee.com.
Well, I have to say, I have to give credit to the amazing David Torreson. Years and years ago, he put together the website that is now what the website that you see, but he did all of that research, and aiding him in that research is another amazing fan of my grandmother's, named Ivan Santiago Mercado. And these two gentlemen with, oh my gosh, all the research they've done, and then we've had, you know, wonderful people helping us put it together in an easy to navigate format. In fact, we just redid it with a wonderful guy helping us out of Kentucky. So, but what fans can see there, you can go there and click on releases and see everything that's currently in the marketplace and where you can listen to it, where you can stream it or buy it. So it's easy to see what's available, and then you can just dive deep and go into any song she's ever written, ever recorded, and photos, and there's news articles, and it's a pretty deep dive into the career of Peggy Lee. It links to the most incredible comprehensive discography. If you click on the discography button, you'll go to Ivan Santiago Mercado's discography, which that is an even deeper dive, and it's such an incredible resource. You want to know what day she recorded a song, where she recorded it, who played on the session, how many takes she had, and then who wrote it, who arranged it, and even history behind the song. Ivan has put all that together.
Well, let's take another dive into that discography and play another song from your playlist, Holly. You chose a song from her final album for Capitol Records, 1972's Norma Dolores Eggstrom, which of course was her birth name. The song you picked is Just for a Thrill, which was written by the equally legendary Louis Armstrong.
Just for a thrill, you change the sunshine to rain. Just for a thrill, you fill my heart with pain. To me, you were my pride and joy. But to you, I was merely a toy, a plaything you could toss around at will, just for a thrill.
Holly Foster Wells, granddaughter of Peggy Lee, joins me today for the 500th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. We all know what an amazing singer and performer your grandmother was, but what can you tell us about Peggy Lee offstage, at home? Did she have any unique hobbies, or other than songwriting, of course?
Well, I guess that depends on where you were catching her. If she was, entertaining, or just hanging out as a, family member. She had, like all of us, all these different facets to her personality. And one thing that seems, I think, surprises people is, for as large as life as her career is, and as glamorous and really over the top as she could appear to be, she was a very down-to-earth person. And she was from North Dakota, from very humble beginnings, and that never left her. So me growing up, the grandmother that I knew, that, you know, I just hung out with all the time, she was just a very normal, down-to-earth person. But she could really put on a show, you know, and she could, she had such an incredible career. And also just she loved entertaining. She loved having family and friends over, and she was a fantastic hostess. And she was a really good friend. She was a great cook and gardener. But, you know, what she really was a creative communicator between singing and writing songs, and she liked creating art. She painted, she sculpted. I mean, she really barely slept. That's what it sounds like, and that's kind of how it was. Always busy.
Well, it must have been an exciting time for you when you went on tour with her. Did she travel each performance by bus, or did she fly to each performance?
If she could drive, she would prefer to drive. She loved doing like a little road trip with her musicians. And there were definitely times where we hired like an RV to take us all, or a bus, van. But mostly she flew. Yeah, she flew. And it could be very glamorous, by the way, going with her to the airport. She would always get dressed up to the nines, and we would take these little golf carts throughout LAX. And I remember being a kid and thinking how exciting that was.
From her 1963 album, I'm a Woman, here's Spotlight artist Peggy Lee with Come Rain or Come Shine, one of the songs that her granddaughter, Holly Foster Wells, chose for us for our 500th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. It's our special 500th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time, and we're joined today by the granddaughter of the legendary Peggy Lee, Holly Foster Wells. Did your grandmother have any backstage rituals before each performance?
Yes, she did. You know, she actually was very shy, and she would get nervous before a show. So she did a lot of preparation for shows, a great deal of rehearsals, and that is what kind of gave her the safety to feel like she could go up there and really let go and be vulnerable. But she was nervous. And so a lot of the time her moods before the show could be tense in that dressing room, you know, because it just her, there's all this tension with you know, she can remember everything and the band and everything. You know, she cared about every aspect of her show, from lighting to, you know, of course, the music, but the showroom and the people running the show and the lighting booth, all that stuff mattered to her. So she had a lot on her plate. But she counted on her musicians more than anyone, and she had rituals with each one of them, like a little secret handshake and these little funny phrases they would say to each other, and she would do a prayer before the show too.
I know you must have been quite young at the time, but did you travel with your mother to London when Peggy did the series of concerts at the London Palladium in 1977 and a couple of albums for producer Ken Barnes?
I was not at those particular concerts, but I started traveling with her when I was little. And in the beginning, my brothers and my mom and I would be on the road with her. And then as we got older, I started just going on the road with her by myself. And that started when I was about six. So my first memories of her and being on the road with her were in the 70s in Las Vegas. I remember I stayed a whole month with her once in Las Vegas. A few times. And that was pretty fun. There was one funny time where she was at the International and Elvis was coming in after her, and I got to meet Elvis and Lisa Marie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we shared a mutual friend in the late Ken Barnes. He and I corresponded for a number of years, and I know he put together a fantastic box set of Peggy's work in London in 1977, just before his death in 2015. In one of our last emails, I asked him if he was able to get copies of her studio album and the Live at the London Palladium album to Bing Crosby before he left us just a few months after Peggy recorded them. And Ken told me he did indeed get copies to Bing, and he listened to them, and he loved both of them.
Yeah, I tell you, Ken was a dear friend of mine, and as is his wife, Anne. And I was very lucky to be able to go to London many times over the last, 10 years or so and spend time with him and Anne. And I worked with him on our Live in London box set that we put out a few years, actually, right before he passed away. I saw him. We went out together at the London Palladium to a Frank Sinatra show. And it was soon after that he passed away. He literally finished writing the notes, everything for this Live in London box set right before he passed away. And it just broke my heart that he wasn't around to see it come out. But man, what an amazing man he was.
One of Holly's favorite albums by her grandmother is 1969's Is That All There Is? And she chose another song for us today. A song that was actually introduced by none other than Mae West in a 1934 film titled Belle of the 90s, My Old Flame. I think Peggy out Mae West's Mae West on this particular track. Here she is, spotlight artist Peggy Lee.
The music seemed to be so reminiscent. I knew I'd heard it somewhere before. Yes, it seemed to be familiar as I listened. When suddenly I remembered once more my old flame. I can't even think of his name, but it's funny now and then how my thoughts go drifting back again to my old flame. My new lovers all seem so tame, for I haven't met a gent so magnificent or elegant as my old flame.
fascinating ways, a fascinating gaze in their eyes. Some who took me up to the skies, but their attempts at love were only imitations of my flame. I can't even think of his name, but I'll never be the same until I discover what became of my
I know they were dear friends for many years, and I'm sure you must have met him at some point, but did you ever get to see your grandmother perform live with Frank Sinatra?
I did not get to see them perform live together, and I never actually got to meet him. I only know him through my grandmother, and of course, she just adored him. I mean, he was such an amazing friend to her throughout the years. She said that there's some people in her life that she just doesn't even have words to describe what they mean to her. And Frank was one of those people. And actually, so was Bing, she said. Both of them just took her under their wings.
During the 80s and 90s, when you would tour with your grandmother, did you ever discuss current music with her? And what were some of her favorites of those years?
She was always looking for new material. And that was, you know, one of the things she talked about was when rock and roll came on the scene. In the beginning, that was really hard for her. She said that, you know, nobody likes to feel irrelevant. And especially some of the rock that was really like the hard rock. And she didn't like it. And she felt displaced. And I know that her contemporaries felt the same way. But then as some of these singer-songwriters started coming in, it was like, well, this isn't so bad, you know. She loved James Taylor, and she loved Randy Newman, and, oh, my gosh, I'm not even thinking of everybody. But she started to do covers of contemporary songs, and she continued that into the end of her career. You know, she started to close her shows with The Wind Beneath My Wings, and, She said there was no such thing to her as, you know, genres, really. She wasn't attracted to just one particular genre. There was just good music or bad music. So
exactly.
She wasn't afraid to try anything.
Here's another song from the exclusive playlist that Holly chose for our 500th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. It's Make Believe.
We could make believe I love you. Only make believe that you love me. Others find peace of mind in pretending.
I love the little coda at the end. Well, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Disney film that will live on forever for generations to come, 1955's Lady and the Tramp. Your grandmother had to be especially proud of this film, and I'm sure you're equally proud that it's such a beloved classic these days.
Oh, yes. That was for sure one of the absolute highlights of her career, because she revered Walt Disney, and to be asked to participate on something like that was a huge accomplishment, especially for her being a woman composer, a songwriter. Sonny Burke wrote the music and she wrote the lyrics. And, you know, this is in the early 50s. And there weren't a lot of singer-songwriters at that time. So, and actually, when she came on, she wasn't going to sing in this movie. She was just writing the songs, and then she did these demos. And they sounded so good, and Walt said, "You do it." And then he ended up asking her if he could change the name of the dog, Peg. It was at first Mamie, and he didn't want to offend the first lady at the time, so he asked, "Can we name this dog Peg?" And she was honored, and then she actually helped change the script. In the original script, old trusty passes away, and she said, "Oh, well, please, please don't do that." And he changed it and let old trusty live. So she certainly had her hands in a lot of things regarding that movie. I mean, she played the mother, Darling, the two cats, Cyanam, and then Peg, the dog, and wrote all those amazing songs.
Getting back to her life off the road, what were the holidays like at your grandmother's house? Did she have a large Christmas party or just a small group of family members?
Oh, no, she loved to have big parties. I think as she got older, you know, sometimes things, you know, she'd have smaller family gatherings too, but it was always just a lot of fun. She had big Christmas parties, New Year's parties, and Easter parties, and any holiday there was a party. And she also had a weekly Sunday dinner at her house, and you never know who would show up, and it would be fascinating people around the table, and she always had really good food. She had these amazing chefs that were more like family to her than working for her, Lily Mae, Virginia, Mario, these wonderful people, and she loved making soul food in particular. And so she had parties. She should have seen her butler's pantry filled with china and glassware, and she's a very organized party thrower too. I still have all of her menus, and you know what needs to be in the bar and what the themes were. She had clown parties when she turned 50. She had a clown party, made everybody come dressed up as a clown. So just loved having people in her home.
Okay, so for anyone listening who wants one great Peggy Lee album that best represents her music and her talent, which would you recommend?
Well, that is an easy one, because we just released Ultimate Peggy Lee, which has 22 tracks. Now, as you know, she's recorded over 1,100 songs, so it's very hard to, you know, get down to 22 songs, but this is a little overview of the hits and then some, you know, lesser known songs that just have withstood the test of time. And hopefully if someone listens to Ultimate Peggy Lee and they just get a little hint of who she was, that they will be inspired to buy more albums and listen to more music.
And speaking of music, here's another one of Holly's favorites. This was the title song to a 1954 motion picture titled Johnny Guitar. And as Holly said, you could have heard a pin drop anytime her grandmother performed it live in concert. Here she is, Peggy Lee.
Play the guitar, play it again, my Johnny. Maybe you're cold, but you're so warm inside. I was always a fool for my Johnny. Johnny Guitar, play it again, Johnny Guitar. What if you go? What if you stay? I love you. What if you're cruel? You can be kind, I know. There was never a man like my Johnny, like the one they call Johnny.
We broached the subject earlier, but since he's long been my favorite male vocalist, I have to ask, did your grandmother ever talk about Bing Crosby and how she felt about him?
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, he was right up there with Frank Sinatra in her eyes. He was someone who really took her under his wing, and she had incredible respect for him. He's another one that I didn't personally meet him, but she adored him. My mother adored him, too. Just a really great guy, and the two of them work together so beautifully. I mean, they sound so good together.
And of course, we have our weekly feature, Bing Sings, in which we feature a recording of Bing's. Of course, Peggy Lee worked so often with Bing on radio, on records, and on TV, and you chose one of your favorite Peggy and Bing duets, Cole Porter's So in Love from Kiss Me, Kate.
And I will say that one of the projects that we hope to do in the coming years is release more of their duets, and also my grandmother has a lot of solo songs from his show, his radio show. So that is something that would be a dream of mine to get that material out.
Miss Lee, would you join me in presenting for the first time on this radio program a song entitled So in Love?
Oh, I'd love to.
You got yourself a boy, Peg.
And you've got yourself a girl.
At last.
Mm-hmm. strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close to you, dear, the stars fill the sky, so in love with you.
Without you, my arms fold about you. You know, darling, why so in love with you am I?
In love.
In love with my joy delirious, when I knew that you could care.
So taunt me and hurt me, deceive me, desert me.
I'm yours till I die, so in love, so in love, so in love with you, my love, am I?
Well, we have some more songs from your playlist, Holly, that we haven't gotten to yet. What would you like to say about some of the ones we have left or the ones we featured previously?
I will say that when you asked me to just come up with 10 or so songs that were my favorites, of course, mm-hmm. that is just almost impossible for me. But when I looked through the list, I found that there was a theme that I was drawn towards material from the 60s and the 70s and also material that's live. And I'm sure that it's no accident because those were the decades when I first started going on the road with her and, well, in the 70s. And I saw her so many times live in concert all over the place. And so that's what draws me to her. And then I just am drawn towards some of these amazing charts that she, like that song, Amazing, the wonderful Billy May chart. I love the Norma Dolores Eggstrom album with the Artie Butler charts, and so I chose a song from that, Just for a Thrill, and Me and My Shadow from Is That All There Is, and Come Rain or Come Shine. I just love the way she sang that on her I'm a Woman album. And what's also interesting about these songs that I didn't really realize is that when she loved a song, she would record it more than once. And a lot of the songs that I picked, she's recorded multiple times. And I love both of her versions of My Old Flame, the one that she sings on Black Coffee and also the one that she does on Is That All There Is. What made me choose Johnny Guitar is when I would go and hear her perform in her concerts, whenever she would sing that song, I mean, the room would just fall quiet and you could hear a pin drop. There was something about that song. And I know it's because even though it was written for the movie Johnny Guitar, she was married to, you know, to my grandfather, Dave Barber, who was a guitar player and the love of her right. life. And that was a song that made her think of him. And so, of course, I was very connected to that song. I still love it. And Sans Souci is just such a fun, exciting chart by Gordon Jenkins, and she wrote that song with Sonny Burke, and just a fascinating lyric, you know? Lean on Me is a song she wrote with Mike Melvoin and Mundell Lowe. Mundell is an incredible jazz guitarist, and Mike was an incredible jazz pianist. And it's just a good example of how, you know, this is a 1969. It's very funky, and I just love that she was willing to change with the times. This song sounds like it could have been written yesterday.
When the good times are all over and the going is getting rough, and when you stop laughing 'cause you know you've had enough, why don't you lean on me, lean on me, why don't you lean?
Go, 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 go.
Sir, for someone like me. The laughing and talking that used to be me.
Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
Since you see.
Go, go, go.
Well, Holly, I can't thank you enough for spending this hour with me and sharing your memories and the music of the legendary Peggy Lee. I hope we did her memory proud. I certainly couldn't be more proud of my 500th episode and with my heartfelt gratitude for making it extra special. I urge everyone listening to check out PeggyLee.com, your one-stop Peggy shop.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for putting the spotlight on my grandmother and for celebrating her music, and congratulations on your 500th episode. That's amazing.
Well, Peggy Lee was certainly a superstar in every sense of the word. We're going to leave you with one more song from her 1972 Capitol album titled Norma Dolores Eggstrom. Here's Peggy Lee with Superstar.
Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
Go, Joe, go!
And my thanks once again to Holly Foster Wells for making this extra special episode of Nostalgia Radio Time all the more special. If you have any comments about the program, send them to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well. So until we meet again next week for our 501st episode, I'm Greg Van Beek saying, so long for now.